Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is John Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat.
It's off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. It is Friday, and you are listening to us on WQEE, home of Southern Sports, 99.1 on your FM dial out of Noonan, Georgia. As I approach my two-year anniversary here on the radio station, I am excited because we have a jam-packed show. Going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons and their head coaching search finally coming to an end after interviewing 14 candidates. It's Raheem Morris, the former interim head coach. Was that the right move? I'm going to have my conference championship preview, and I'm going to make predictions. Who will have the right to play in Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas? It's Friday, so that means it is time for the high school basketball preview, as we have a bunch of rivalry games all around the Chattahoochee Valley. And one team in the state of Georgia is getting national recognition. I do want to thank DJ Jones and Thrip Behringer from Sports Visions. You can catch them Mondays and Thursdays, 4 to 6, Smooth R&B 92.1 in the Sports Visions Facebook page and radio app. Thrip Behringer, I know it was a last minute, called me, asked me if I wanted to come in and fill in for DJ Jones. He was on the road in Tampa. I was able to fill in for the first part of the show, and I just thank him and DJ so much for giving me that opportunity. Any chance I get to get into the radio station, I always want to take advantage of that because I miss doing sports talk radio on a radio station. It's just different. It's a different atmosphere. I love getting in the studio at WQEE. I'm hoping to do that in the future. And I just want to thank Thrift and DJ for that opportunity once again. Raheem Morris has been named the Atlanta Falcons head coach. After 14 candidates, a couple of candidates had second interviews, the Atlanta Falcons hire the former interim head coach from 2020. But did they get it right? The time is now. The Falcons have not made the playoffs since 2017. This fan base is getting restless. Despite the 28-3, you went to a Super Bowl in 2016. You got the new stadium. Arthur Blank has made all the right moves as far as bringing the new stadium to Atlanta and also getting Atlanta United to win an MLS Cup in 2018. But I don't know if he's made all the right moves in this organization since he's taken over as owner since 2002. When hiring a head coach and what he has done, hiring Jim Mora Jr., hiring Mike Smith, hiring Dan Quinn, Arthur Smith, hiring the Hawk coordinator, in hindsight it seemed to work because it solved a problem that the Falcons needed to address. I was optimistic when they hired Arthur Smith because he was an offensive guy. He was the hot coordinator. Tennessee went to the AFC Championship. They were the number one overall seed a year later. But he was obviously not the right guy. Three straight years of 7-10. They haven't had stability in quarterbacks since Matt Ryan got traded to the Colts. And even though you hire Raheem Morris, who is a locker room guy, the players are going to play hard for him. I was hoping that if they were going to choose a candidate when Dan Quinn was fired and Raheem Morris took over as the interim coach and went 4-7, that's the time where you give him the job. He did win a Super Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams as the defensive coordinator. That's where he's been for the last 3 years. He's a defensive guy. but can also coach the offensive side of the ball as well. Give this time. I know that the Falcons want to win now, and that's why they wanted to try to go get Belichick. And they wanted to try to maybe go get Kirk Cousins because he said that he would play for Belichick. But what is going on in the organization? You know, they also made another move that Rich McKay steps down as the day-to-day operations as the team president. So general manager Terry Fontenot and head coach Raheem Morris is going to answer directly to owner Arthur Blank. It is not all gloom and doom in Atlanta. Arthur Blank is an owner that wants to win. He wants to bring a Super Bowl to Atlanta. But I'm questioning whether or not Raheem Morris is the right guy. He's only 47 years old. And he does have NFL head coaching experience. He went 21-38 in 2010. At the age of 34, he led the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to a 10-6 record. He got fired the next year because they went 4-12. I'm not saying he's going to be a bad coach, but I like the way the Falcons played hard for him in 2020 when Dan Quinn got fired. I just want to take you back to that 2020 season because Dan Quinn just out the gate, the Falcons were blowing leads to the Cowboys. These are games they're supposed to win. They had a 99.9% chance of winning these games. Losing to the Cowboys the way they did, 40-39. Losing to the Bears, 30-26, when the Bears decided to put in Nick Foles. Losing to Carolina, 0-5, they fire Dan Quinn. Raheem Morris steps in and wins his first game as the interim coach as they beat the Minnesota Vikings on the road, 40-23. Another close loss to Detroit. That was the game in London. And the narrative was the Falcons haven't learned their lesson, that Raheem Morris is just running the same scheme as Dan Quinn. In Raheem Morris's first six games as interim head coach, the Falcons were 4-2. Now, here's why he didn't get the full-time job. The Falcons lost five straight, and they finished the season 4-12, including blowing leads once again to the Chargers and to the Buccaneers. Unbelievable. I could not believe that the Falcons ended the season the way they did. And maybe if the team didn't quit on the interim coach, that we're talking about Raheem Morris being the head coach rather than Arthur Smith in 2021. I hope it works out. I hope the Falcons have a good 2024 season. Remember, they're going to have a tougher schedule, and they still don't have a quarterback. They need to draft a quarterback in the 2024 NFL draft. And I'm not talking about trying to get a project in the second or third round. Desmond Ridder was obviously a complete bust because, oh, they thought they found a gem because he had such a great collegiate career at Cincinnati. Obviously, this guy was terrible. They need to go get a quarterback in the first round with the number 8 overall pick. I don't care who you get, because this quarterback class is probably the best quarterback class since the 2004 quarterback class. And I would rival this quarterback class with the 1983 quarterback class. Go get a quarterback. You still might have Jaden Daniels on the board. You're probably going to have Bo Nix. You're probably going to have Michael Penix Jr. There's going to be quarterbacks available in the 2024 NFL draft. But let's look at the 2024 Atlanta Falcons schedule. Of course, they play their division opponents. They're going to be at Washington. They play Dallas at home. They play the New York Giants at home. They play the Eagles on the road. And then you got the NFC West opponent, Seattle, that's coming to the Bins. They have to play at Minnesota. They have to play at Denver and Las Vegas. They will host the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. They'll host the Kansas City Chiefs at home. And they host the Los Angeles Chargers and Jim Harbaugh at home. That is going to be a very interesting game just because the Falcons fumbled on getting Jim Harbaugh. He would be my number one choice. They should have got Jim Harbaugh. A close second would be Bill Belichick because I believe that Belichick has something to prove. He would win right away. I feel like Raheem Morris is just another project. Other head coaching news, the Carolina Panthers found their guy, the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who helped resurrect Baker Mayfield's career, Dave Canales. Baker Mayfield is the reason why Dave Canales got a job in Carolina and vice versa. Dave Canales is the reason why Baker Mayfield is probably going to get a big contract extension for 2024, leading the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to a 9-8 record and an NFC South crown and a playoff win. So this is a good hire. I hope that the Carolina Panthers don't mess this up. Can the Carolina Panthers get back to their glory days like in 2003 when Jake Delhomme led them to a Super Bowl, or when Cam Newton won an MVP in 2016 with Ron Rivera as their head coach? Remember, John Fox and Ron Rivera got them to Super Bowls. Carolina has whiffed on some coaches like Matt Rhule, Frank Reich, and now Dave Canales is going to be the next head coach. I still thought that they should have gave the head coaching job to Steve Wilks, their interim coach. But hey, as a 49ers fan, I'm happy that Steve Wilks is my defensive coordinator. There are two more NFL jobs left. Washington and Seattle. You still have Mike Vrabel out there. You still have Bill Belichick. As the pieces start to move, I know there's rumblings that Arthur Smith is a candidate for offensive coordinator somewhere. I mean, hey, go to Seattle. Let Dan Quinn be the head coach. Let Arthur Smith be the offensive coordinator in Seattle. I don't care. That's fine. I just don't want to see Bill Belichick in Seattle as a 49ers fan. I think the best fit, because you got the new ownership group, Bill Belichick going to Washington. I think that would be a good fit for the Washington Commanders, who have the number two overall pick. He can go get a quarterback. Eric Bieniemy can still be the offensive coordinator. The other option is to let Eric Bieniemy just be the head coach. He is deserving of a head coaching position, and he was trying to prove himself by leaving Kansas City to go be the offensive coordinator in Washington. Conference championships this Sunday. You got the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are favored by 4. This is going to be a big game, and if the Kansas City Chiefs want to go to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to do it without Joe Thoney. If you have one player on the offensive line, Patrick Mahomes might struggle. But remember, he was hobbling on one leg last year, and they beat the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. This is going to be a big test for Lamar Jackson to see if he can exercise demons and get to a Super Bowl. I think that the Baltimore Ravens have probably the best overall team, but you cannot count out that X factor of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, that whole nucleus of Kansas City Chiefs players that's been there before, and this is the dynasty of the 2020s. If the Kansas City Chiefs make it to another Super Bowl, it's because they know how to win and they know how to flick the switch when it comes to postseason play. They have struggled all year. They ended up getting the number 3 seed. They lost games they shouldn't have lost to. And it's because they haven't had a number 1 receiver. But you look at that Super Bowl team last year, their number 1 receiver was Juju Smith-Schuster. Now all of a sudden, Marquez Valdez-Scantling is starting to look like a number 1 receiver. Rashid Rice is still looking like a number 2 receiver. But it's Isaiah Pacheco. When the Kansas City Chiefs were going through running backs like Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jet McKinnon, they found their running back in Isaiah Pacheco, who was a steal in the draft. I would not be shocked if the Kansas City Chiefs win this game. But the key is, can the Baltimore Ravens get out in front? Can Kansas City's linebackers stop Lamar Jackson? They're going to have to put a spy on him, but Lamar Jackson has proven that he can throw the football. He's got Zay Flowers. He's got Odell Beckham Jr. He's got Rashad Bateman. Isaiah Likely has been an incredible tight end in place of the injured Mark Andrews, which, by the way, is going to be back in this game. I do think that the Baltimore Ravens win, but it is going to be a shootout. The Ravens will have the ball last, and you have the most reliable kicker in the history of the NFL, Justin Tucker, to win it on a walk-off field goal, 34-31, and the Baltimore Ravens make it back to the Super Bowl for the first time in over 10 years. And John Harbaugh makes it to another Super Bowl. Now, the NFC Championship, it is the Detroit Lions, the Destiny Darlings, the new America's team, taking on the San Francisco 49ers, who have been to the NFC Championship 3 straight years. You got to remember, when the 49ers went to the Super Bowl in 2019, that's when I started my podcast. 3 straight years in the NFC Championship, the San Francisco 49ers. They are now a 7.5-point favorite. It looked like the line went up because it is looking like Deebo Samuel might play. He was back at practice. He was still hurting. But if it's up to him, he is going to go in this game. He's not going to be 100%. So the 49ers' offensive game plan needs to not include Deebo Samuel. You need to run offensive plays for Ray McCloud and Juwan Jennings and Chris Conley. They need to be included in your practice and your schemes to try to move the ball. I do think that Deebo Samuel can be valuable if he's on the field, because he could be used as a decoy, but do not utilize him, especially in the physical run game. You don't want to have that shoulder aggravated and he ends up missing the Super Bowl. I still think the 49ers could win this game without Deebo Samuel, because they still have Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk. Now, as for the Detroit Lions, well, Jared Goff has had an incredible season. And obviously, the Detroit Lions won that trade when Matthew Stafford went to the Rams in 2021, got the Rams a Super Bowl. The Lions got all those draft picks that are making contributions on this team. And look, I was looking at their schedule. Yeah, there were some games where the Lions got blown out this year. And they are just happy to be here. This is the first conference championship they've made it to since 1992. And this historic franchise, who had the greatest running back of all time, in my opinion, Barry Sanders, one of the best wide receivers of all time, Calvin Johnson, they've had these players, and they could not get over the hump. We talk about the conference championship loss to Washington in the 1991 season. They went to the playoffs in 83 and 82. 83 was the year they lost to the San Francisco 49ers in the divisional round. Gary Danielson was the quarterback that year. And then you also have them winning a championship back in 1957. That was the last time they won a championship with Bobby Lane, as George Wilson was the head coach. A playoff appearance in 1970. This franchise has been around since 1934. They have won 4 championships, but they were all won in 1935 and then won 3 championships in the 1950s. But this was a staple franchise along with the Bears and the Packers. I mean, one of the original teams in the NFL. And the Detroit Lions fell on some hard times, especially in the last 40 years. But things were starting to look up. 2011, the Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson era, making the playoffs in 2011, 2014, and 2016. I never understood why they fired Jim Caldwell. He led the Lions to the playoffs with an 11-5 record in 14 and a 9-7 record in 2016. 2017, they go 9-7. They fire him. And you look at the head coaches. Matt Patricia, obviously, was an absolute disaster. And I seriously thought that Dan Campbell would be the same. He came over in 2021. His press conference, you know, it didn't really sit well. A lot of people thought he was a meathead because he said that he was going to bite his opponents in the kneecaps. I mean, who says that? It was funny. I liked it. And I like Dan Campbell as a coach now. But that first year, 3-13-1, I almost can guarantee you, if the Lions had a losing season like that in 2022, that Dan Campbell would have lost his job. I'm not saying he would have been on the hot seat. He's actually a candidate for Coach of the Year. What he did to turn around that organization, it really speaks volumes to his character. And he has the right assistants. Ben Johnson, he was an offensive coordinator that was getting head coaching interviews. Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, he was getting interviews as well. Now look, last year, the Lions started 1-6. And because of the way they finish, to go 9-8 to knock out their longtime rival Green Bay Packers out of the playoffs. The Detroit Lions had all this momentum going into this season, and they're just riding off that momentum, and I know the entire country's rooting for them, but I'm just hoping for a fun game. All right, so I guess it's time for me to make a prediction, and you all know which way I'm going to go, but it's not because I am picking with my heart. I'm actually picking with some logic. The San Francisco 49ers played an awful game last week. I had to go rewatch the film. It wasn't as awful as you think. It's just the Packers played great. Their defense played great. Jordan Love was amazing despite the two interceptions. One wasn't his fault. It was on a tip pass, but he had one of the worst interceptions ever that I've seen a quarterback throw with the game on the line, and he threw it right to Dre Greenlaw. The weather did play a factor, but it wasn't completely the weather, because you say, well, Brock Purdy had a bad game all the way up until that final drive. He did hit George Kittle for that touchdown to make it 7-3. Clock management at the end of the first half, the 49ers could have went up 10-6. It was a blocked field goal going either way. They knew they were getting the ball to start the second half. There were some questionable play calling, and Ray McCloud should have been open on that third and long, and Brock Purdy just missed him. The Packers had their chance to win the game, but the 49ers were able to come back, and that shows their character going into the NFC Championship. They've been here before. They want to get back to the Super Bowl because they feel the window is closing, because you're going to eventually have to pay Brock Purdy. All these great players that they have, like Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Chavarius Ward, Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, you're going to have to pay all these players. I think that the 49ers defense is going to come out, and they're going to put pressure on Jared Goff. Detroit's going to move the ball on the 49ers. If Detroit gets the ball first, they could go up 7-0. But can the 49ers defense keep them out of the end zone and make Detroit kick field goals like they did against Green Bay? Some people have gotten on and said that the 49ers are going to blow out the Detroit Lions. And there are some people out there that feel, well, the Lions can only win this game if the 49ers make a bunch of mistakes. I highly doubt that they are going to make a bunch of mistakes like they did against Green Bay. The weather is going to be better. And even though Deebo Samuel is not going to be 100%, I still think that that is going to be enough for the 49ers to get the victory. And I'm going to say that they win this game 27-21. So Detroit covers. The 49ers win the game. Detroit has a chance to try to win this game with a touchdown, but the 49ers defense stops them to go to the Super Bowl, where they will face the Baltimore Ravens in Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and take a commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about high school basketball in the Chattahoochee Valley. I'm going to break down all the games. I'm going to tell you where Georgia Alabama Sports Live is going to be tonight. And I will also recap some of the games from last night. You don't want to go anywhere. It's a Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. We'll be right back.
Yeah! Stick around.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I hope you're enjoying your Friday. Just an incredible night of high school basketball all around the Chattahoochee Valley. I will talk about all the games that are happening tonight, but we did have some games last night, the games on Georgia-Alabama Sports Live that you got to see. It was senior night at the campus of Glenwood. Let's start with the Glenwood girls. They were up 35-6 at the half. Thrift Behringer did play-by-play. I did color. And then just a special second half where I had the honor to do play-by-play. And joining me up in the broadcast booth was WRBL Sports Director Jack Patterson. That was a lot of fun. And he did a great job, obviously. You do the sports every night, you're going to get up in the booth and you can do broadcasting. It just comes natural to you. Glenwood ends up winning the game 55-39. I was very impressed with Lee Scott coming back, putting 33 points up in the second half. But Glenwood sweeps the season series over Lee Scott, undefeated in region play, 23-5 overall. They look like they're going to win the state championship. But they got region tournament play next week in Cecil, Alabama, on the campus of Macon East. The nightcap on senior night, Glenwood taking on Lee Scott Academy for the second time this year. These two rivals, there's no love lost between these two schools. There is respect for these two schools, but there was a lot of chippiness. You had fans from both sides. There was standing room only. It was just an incredible atmosphere. Thrift Behringer and I were on the call on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Glenwood jumped out to the 30-19 lead at the first half. And then Lee Scott Academy, they were out Ben Aldridge, one of their top scorers. Hayden Harper, he is going to be a special player. I think that Hayden Harper is going to play at the next level. He's only a sophomore. And Glenwood was feeling the injury from Levi Pender, who's out for the season. Glenwood loses to Lee Scott 53-41. That puts Lee Scott as the number two seed in the region as Glenwood gets ready for region tournament play next week. Here's the standings in Region 1. Lee Scott tied with Valiant Cross, but Valiant Cross won the tiebreaker, so Lee Scott gets the number three seed. Glenwood gets the number four seed. It's looking like Springwood and Valiant Cross will get the first round byes. Lee Scott will take on Southern Prep. Glenwood would take on Macon East. And then the winner of that game will take on Springwood. So it looks like Glenwood's going to face Springwood in the quarterfinals of the region tournament and possibly maybe get another crack at Lee Scott. I mean, they played Springwood close. They have beaten Valiant Cross on their home floor. But Lee Scott Academy, there's just something about Lee Scott, and they just take it to another level. And this is what happened last year. Lee Scott won both games in the regular season decisively. It was that Cinderella story that Glenwood beat Lee Scott on a buzzer beater in the Final Four, and it led them to a state championship. So I hope that the Glenwood Gators have a good showing in the region tournament, and who knows? Georgia-Alabama Sports Live might be there to cover some championship games. Other scores last night, Carrollton ends up defeating East Coweta 66-62. And then Valley, they only have one loss, and that was against Auburn. The defending 5A champions defeated Russell County 73-55 last night in Valley. Those were the boys' games. All right, heartbreaking loss last night. The Heritage Hawks get the one-point victory over the Pacelli Vikings. Pacelli was playing one of the top teams in the GIAA. And when you think of what Pacelli has gone through as far as their schedule, not just their GHSA schedule, playing some top teams in the GIAA as well, they had a lot of confidence going into this game after beating Brookstone, their longtime rival, on Tuesday night. And they were leading for most of this game. But Heritage was able to get the one-point victory over the Pacelli Vikings. And the Heritage Hawks pushed their record to 17-2 overall. Pacelli drops to 12-6. They will host St. Mary's Academy at the LAN today. And then they're on the road taking on Strong Rock Christian on the 30th. Back at home against Heritage on the 2nd of February. The Pacelli Vikings trying to get back to the state championship. Now for the Pacelli girls. which is a team I think is going to get to the state championship and probably win it. They get in a very impressive win over the Heritage Lady Hawks, 37-29. It's Heritage's first loss of the season. The Pacelli girls go to 12-4 overall, 3-0 in the GIAA. Coach Brian Thomas just has a team that I think that can win a championship. And I think the addition of Michaela Hosley, the former Northside Lady Patriot, and then Ivana Thomas coming back from injury. You got the eighth grader, Grace Smith. You have Tamaya Ransom. You have Zaniah Crouch. You have not only starters, but players coming off the bench who want to contribute. And I think the Pacelli Lady Vikings are going to have a good showing. They are taking on Strong Rock Christian on Tuesday in Locust Grove, and then they're taking on Heritage back on Friday at the Land. Here is where Georgia-Alabama Sports Live is going to be tonight. Thrift Behringer is going to be at the campus of Hardaway High School for a big region game. Hardaway is 12-8 on the season. They are taking on the Syrup Makers of Cairo, who are 11-8. And talking about the impact of this game right now in the region, Cairo is 3-1. Hardaway is 1-3. You got Bainbridge that's 1-3, and Shaw is 1-3. Bainbridge is playing Shaw tomorrow. And all these teams in the region have winning records. Westover, they're probably going to get the number one seed. They're 4-0. They're 11-7 overall. So all these teams right now, I know Hardaway has more wins than anybody in the region overall, but 1-3, and those three losses were all one-possession games. This is going to be a big matchup for the senior-led team by Coach Kendall Mills and the Hardaway Hawks. Meanwhile, I will be at the campus of Carver High School once again. Another Friday night at the School on the Hill. Big region rivalry game between the Columbus Blue Devils. Now, I know history tells you that these two schools really aren't rivals, but when they did the reclassification a couple years ago and Carver and Columbus got moved to 3A, well, obviously, they're in Columbus and they're region rivals. This is a huge game because both teams look incredible. Columbus, they almost beat Monroe on Tuesday. They only lost by 4. Columbus is 13-7. They have had some impressive victories. Carver is trying to snap a 2-game losing streak. They lost to Doherty on Tuesday. They did lose to Monroe last Friday night. 16-2. Carver is led by Tony Montgomery. And the Carver Tigers trying to get the big win over the Columbus Blue Devils, who are 13-7. If you look at their region standings, Monroe right now is the top team in the region with a 5-0 record. Doherty is 4-1. It looks like the number one and number two seeds for the region tournament are probably going to be in place. This is a big game because Carver's in third place, 3-2 in the region, and Columbus is 2-3 in the region. Crisp County and Thomasville both 0-4. So this could determine who gets the number three seed. This is also a rematch of that very close game back in the beginning of January at Columbus High School, where Carver won 63-51. I do like the Columbus Blue Devils team with Oakley Conce in the middle, Savion Kelly, a wing player. Robert Hartford likes to shoot the three, and Dre Wooten running the point. Also, we are going to be live streaming the Hardaway girls and the Cairo girls. Hardaway girls led by Coach Kelly Ellison. They look like a team that can win a championship in 4A. In fact, they're one of the top teams, according to Sandy Spill, in the entire state of Georgia. And I also will be live streaming the Columbus Lady Blue Devils taking on the Carver Lady Tigers. The Carver Lady Tigers led by Coach Anson Hunley. They got Jasmine Thornton, who got her 1,500th point last week. You got Aubrey Wilkins. You got Chubb Williams. He's got some seniors on his team that look poised to win a championship in 3A. And I've been impressed with the Columbus Lady Blue Devils, led by their head coach, LaShonda Adams, the former Kendrick Cherokee, who won a state championship with a longtime legendary coach, Sterling Hicks, over at Kendrick back when they were a powerhouse. And this is also a rematch of the 2017 state championship. The Columbus Lady Blue Devils coming into this game with 7 wins. Last year, they only won 5 wins. So Coach Adams has improved this team. They're 7-13, taking on the 13-6 Carver Lady Tigers. The Columbus Blue Devils are led by Alana Gilbert, who averages 9.1 points a game. And Jayla Lockhart, one player of the week for Columbus. Just come on out to that school on the hill if you want to see some good high school basketball, or just anywhere in the Chattahoochee Valley, because we do have some big-time rivalries. I'm going to go ahead and get into some of the games that's happening today all around the Chattahoochee Valley. Let's go ahead and start with a huge rivalry game. And when I talk about these games, I'm including the girls' game as well. Smith Station at Central. Obviously, on the girls' side, Central's got Jabria Lindsay. Smith Station was one of the top teams. They did lose three games, two to Auburn, one to Central. The Smith Station boys having a down year. Their record doesn't really reflect the type of team they are. And the Central Red Devils, led by Jacoby Hill, Bryce Dawson, Willie Townsend. Coach Burkett has got a team that can win a state championship. Another rivalry, Auburn is taking on Opelika. The Valley Rams are traveling to Lafayette. Realtown is at Beulah. You got Beauregard at Notasauga. And Russell County is on the road taking on the Eufaula Tigers. Now let's go over to Columbus. We do have some teams in action in the city of Columbus. You got Ace Charter taking on the Jordan Red Jackets. Jordan is also going to host the Spencer Green Wave tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Northside Patriots are hosting the Hardaway Hawks. Kendrick is on the road in Macon taking on Central. Spencer is on the road in Macon taking on Rutland. You got the Calvary Christian Knights, another Gaps game as they're taking on Konos Academy in Fayetteville, Georgia. Brookstone is hosting Westfield School, a big GIAA matchup as Brookstone is trying to bounce back after that loss to Pacelli on Tuesday night. Whitewater is taking on LaGrange in LaGrange, Georgia, a big region game. Troop County is on the road taking on North Clayton. You have Central Talbotton that is taking on Chatco. The Manchester Blue Devils is on the road in Butler, Georgia, taking on Taylor County. Remember, the Taylor County Lady Vikings look like a team that could win a state championship. Trinity Christian is in Fayetteville taking on Stars Mill. Strong Rock Christian is in Noonan taking on the Heritage Hawks, who have to bounce back. The Heritage girls get their first loss of the season. The Heritage boys, a tough one-point win over Pacelli, and now they got to turn around and take on Strong Rock Christian, one of the top teams in the GIAA. McIntosh is on the road taking on Northgate. Marion County is on the road taking on Greenville. I want to talk about rivalries in high school basketball and why they are important. Thrift Barringer and I witnessed two big rivalries this past week. I mean, it is rivalry week. Brookstone played Pacelli on Tuesday. Glenwood played Lee Scott on Thursday. And just the intensity and the passion and the fan base, coaches, players, alumni, they just want to win because it's pride for the school. Bragging rights are on the line, and there is respect on both sides. But when you take it too far, when you have to force a rivalry game like Griffin and Spalding to not have fans, that is an absolute disgrace. We witnessed a Carver-Spencer football game where somebody brought a gun into the stadium. We have had in the past big rivalry games break out in fights. Can we not be stupid for once and just enjoy a good old-fashioned rivalry in basketball? This is what we want to see as sports fans, but people that want to act a fool just want to ruin it for everybody. I thought that it was a little extreme that Griffin and Spalding decided to have a basketball game without fans. I still think you schedule it on a Saturday afternoon where you let select people in there, including family members. It seems like people just want to act crazy the later these games get. I mean, when you have the JV girls and the JV boys playing and the games go a little bit over and the girls game that was supposed to start at 6 doesn't start until 6:45 and then the boys game doesn't even start until 9 and then that's when people just start acting crazy. And I don't think that we should ever have a basketball game without fans, but I do think You have got to use good judgment when you're going to a basketball game. There are some bad people out there that want to do bad things, and they want to use a setting like a basketball game to do that. I applaud the security at these basketball games. I can't thank them enough for keeping us safe. When I went to a basketball game, I was patted down, and that is the right move. I needed to be patted down. Even though I don't have anything in my bag, I just have my laptop, I felt like I want to be safe when I'm going to any sporting event that I broadcast or I'm just there as a fan. ESPN came out with a list of the top high school basketball teams in the entire country, and I was very interested in this list, so I clicked on it, and I noticed that there's one team from Georgia, and I want to give a shout-out to this team, the Grayson Rams. They're taking on Brookwood later today. They are 18-2 overall. I think that Grayson, especially in their region with Parkview, Archer, Newton, South Gwinnett, I think they can win a state championship this year in 7A. They look like a fantastic team. I know that Wheeler is the defending 7A champions. Grayson actually beat Sandy Creek way back in November 25th by 1 point. They have beaten Kell, who has won a state championship. They've beaten Woodward Academy. Remember, Woodward Academy had Walker Kessler a couple years ago. A lot of great teams they have beaten. Their only losses, they lost to Ridgeview. Ridgeview is just one of the top teams in South Carolina. There's no question that, you know, they're going to other states and they are playing the best teams in other states. They did lose to Perry by 1 point. This was a team out of Arizona. I know that Sandy Spill has them ranked number one, and they are ranked number one in a lot of rankings in around the Georgia area. Grayson out of Loganville, they are number one in the state, and they're getting noticed nationally. All right, we're going to go ahead and take another break. Final segment here on the show, going to talk about River Dragons hockey, Columbus State basketball. I might even get into a little bit of Columbus State baseball and softball. You don't want to go anywhere. It's a Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and we'll be back.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Final segment before I get you out of here. The Columbus River Dragons are playing tonight, taking on the Baton Rouge Zydeco. It is ladies' night. Hometown heroes tomorrow, Saturday, Columbus Civic Center. Two-game series as the Columbus River Dragons are in first place in the Continental Division. They have the best overall record in the Federal Prospects Hockey League. They are 1 point ahead of the Beamington Black Bears. And the Columbus State Cougars and Lady Cougars are in action at the Lumpkin Center. Tomorrow, tip-off 1:30 for the Lady Cougars as they are taking on Lander University. The Columbus State Cougars will follow at 3:30 at the Lumpkin Center. So come on out, see some Columbus State basketball. Just to let you know, CSU baseball and softball is just around the corner. The CSU baseball team will be on the road February the 2nd, taking on Eckhart College. Columbus State softball team is going to be on the road February 2nd in the Flagler Embry-Riddle Classic, and then they're going to be back at home on February the 7th. The weekend of February the 9th through the 11th is the Red, White, and Blue Classic at Cougar Stadium,
And the softball team just had an incredible season last year. They're trying to get back and make it to the NCAA tournament and possibly the World Series. And so good luck to the Columbus State baseball team and Columbus State softball team. College basketball last night, we had a huge college basketball matchup in women's college basketball as the South Carolina Gamecocks, number one in the country, they're starting to become the new UConn. They were taking on the defending champion LSU Tigers led by Kim Mulkey. You have Angel Reese. You have Flaje Johnson. I mean, you have stars on this LSU team. And all Dawn Staley does at South Carolina is win. Well, South Carolina ends up getting the win. They stay undefeated. They are one of the best, if not the best team in college basketball. Iowa shocked them last year in the Final Four. I still think that Iowa has got a good team with Caitlin Clark. She is the best player in women's college basketball. It was a great night for women's college basketball. South Carolina gets the 76-70 victory over LSU. Still 18-0. Bree Hall makes the go-ahead three to put South Carolina on top. Let's talk about men's college basketball because this weekend we got some big ACC and SEC matchups. Georgia Tech on the road in Blacksburg taking on Virginia Tech. They are 9-10 overall. You got North Carolina on the road taking on Florida State. Duke is hosting Clemson. Now over to the SEC as Georgia is taking on Florida. Georgia is 14-5. And that would be an impressive win if they can get a road victory against Florida. It would help their resume to try to get into the tournament. Auburn is on the road in Starksville taking on Mississippi State. Tennessee's on the road taking on Vanderbilt. Alabama's hosting LSU, and Kentucky is on the road in Fayetteville taking on an Arkansas team that is underachieved, 10-9. That's not good for Eric Musselman. I mean, this is a team that has made deep tournament runs. Some of the big top 25 action in college basketball as Saturday is really meant for that. We don't have any football games this Saturday. So if you're a sports fan, you want to sit on the couch and watch some big-time college basketball. Starting at noon, the Houston Cougars, fourth-ranked team in the country hosting Kansas State. I think Houston has made the transition to the Big 12. They look pretty good. Seton Hall, they are taking on Marquette. I love that coaching matchup between Shamil Holloway, the former St. Peter's coach. Seton Hall's had some upsets. They're taking on the Marquette Golden Eagles led by Shaka Smart. Kansas on the road taking on Iowa State. Texas Tech is on the road taking on Oklahoma. You also have Texas taking on BYU and Indiana taking on Illinois. Last night in the NBA, the Sacramento Kings get the one-point victory over the Golden State Warriors. The Lakers end up beating the Bulls 141-132. The Lakers are now 23-23, and I think they're just going to sneak into the play-in game, get the number 7 seed, and possibly play OKC or Minnesota in the first round of the playoffs, where I think the favorites would be the Lakers because they have that experience and LeBron just turns on the switch when he gets into the postseason. Pacers end up beating the 76ers 134-122. You don't think that Pascal Siakam trade was big? That's big. The Pacers are now a legit team in the Eastern Conference. Celtics getting the win over the Miami Heat. The Heat are 0-2 since they have acquired Terry Rozier. Something's going on with the Heat. The Knicks blow out the defending champion Denver Nuggets 122-84. And then the Jazz get the win over the Wizards. The Timberwolves, a one-point win over the Nets. So this Friday, the Atlanta Hawks are hosting the Dallas Mavericks at State Farm Arena. Some of the televised games include the Trailblazers taking on the Spurs. That's going to feature the number one and number two overall pick in this year's NBA draft. You got Victor Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson. Saturday is always the NBA showcase. The ABC game at 8:30. Is the Lakers taking on the Warriors? The Warriors have just had a very disappointing season. Steph Curry is great, but Klay Thompson is getting older. Draymond Green is getting older. And Andrew Wiggins sometimes disappears in big games. The Warriors team that won the championships are well past their prime, and the young players that I thought would develop, like Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody. Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga had a good game the other night against the Hawks, but I'm just not a believer in what the Warriors are doing, and the dynasty's officially over. This has been a big week for the NBA as they announced the pool for the 2024 Olympics in Paris, and then the starters have been announced for the 2024 NBA All-Star Game. LeBron James gets his record-setting 20th appearance in the All-Star Game. Some of the other All-Stars include Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the OKC Thunder, Nikolai Jokic, and Suns forward Kevin Durant. Over in the Eastern Conference, the Sixers center Joel Embiid, who had 70 points the other night against the San Antonio Spurs, Boston Celtics forward Jason Tatum, Tyrese Halliburton, the point guard for Indiana, is making the All-Star team as a starter. And then Bucks teammates Giannis and Damian Lillard will start in the East. The big controversy, if you look at Damian Lillard's statistics, they're a little bit down. I'm wondering if he just got in just because of popularity. Because I think that Trae Young should have got in as a starter. Trae Young is having a phenomenal year despite the Atlanta Hawks record. This is not the first time that Trae Young has been snubbed of an All-Star game. Hopefully, Trae Young will get in as one of the reserves. The NBA All-Star reserves will be announced Thursday, February the 1st. The NBA All-Star game will take place on February the 18th in Indianapolis. And while I'm talking about basketball, I do want to get serious for a minute. Today is the four-year anniversary of the death of Kobe Bryant. I tend not to get emotional on this podcast, but it was one of the saddest, most shocking moments that I ever witnessed as a sports fan. I knew exactly where I was when I was listening to sports talk radio. I was actually in Atlanta at the time. I was visiting family, and we were listening to 92.9 The Game, and the news broke. It was on a Sunday afternoon. Hearing the news caused me complete shock, complete disbelief. When I later heard about the story, I just felt deeply saddened for Kobe Bryant's family. And as a father of two daughters, it really was heartbreaking that Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter Gianna were killed in a helicopter crash. And this really shocked the sports world. And I know this is how 2020 started. It was a very sad and depressing year, but Kobe's death just impacted not only the new generation of basketball players, but everybody in sports in particular. And it was the most shocking, most... And Kobe Bryant's legacy, even after he retired from basketball in 2016, it lives on forever. He was an absolute staple, not just on the basketball court, but as a human being, as a father, as a husband. He was just a great man, and everything that he did on the court reflected in how he lived his life. And Kobe Bryant as a competitor, and I admit, I was a Sacramento Kings fan. The Shaq and Kobe years were tough for me as a Kings fan. But he won 5 rings. He was one of the biggest competitors. He dropped 81. Even in his last game in 2016, the Mamba out game, he scored 60 points. I mean, Kobe was just incredible, and he will forever be missed. And definitely on the four-year anniversary of his death, I really wanted to come on my show and talk about what Kobe Bryant meant to me as a sports fan, as just somebody who loves watching sports. Kobe Bryant was just the ultimate competitor. And I know that 4 years ago, right around this time, I was about a week away from starting up my podcast. We just had conference championships that day, the 49ers, Packers, and then we had the Chiefs and the Titans. And I remember that whole 2 weeks, we weren't thinking about the Super Bowl. We were thinking about Kobe's death. I remember I just had to talk about it. Now, back in 2020, before the pandemic, there was Sports Talk Radio in Columbus where you can call in. And I called in to the Zach DeBose Art Show, which he had on 95.7 on Mondays, and just talked about what Kobe Bryant's legacy was. And this was back when I was a frequent caller on Sports Talk Radio. We just don't have that anymore. I mean, you can call in a radio show. We just don't have those shows where it's formatted to take a bunch of calls like the Paul Feinbaum Show. All right, don't forget, next week I have got a loaded lineup of guests that are coming on the show. I'm also doing the Georgia Alabama Sports Live Show with Thrift Behringer. So I'm doing double duty. Thrift and I do a show twice a week. I still want to be committed to doing a podcast here 5 days a week. I want to continue grinding. I'm about to approach my 800th episode. I'm approaching my two-year anniversary at the radio station. I'm approaching my four-year anniversary as doing a podcast. I'm a historian. I know about the history of sports broadcasting in Columbus. I mean, it started in the early 2000s with DJ Jones and Dale Williams at Sports Visions, and then the press box with Bobby Z. That's how Josh Pate got his start. Thrift Behringer, Buckets, Jonathan Bam Rivers, and Tyler Redman were all part of the press box with Bobby Z. Then it turned into the Sports Zone with Stephen Williams, and then Sports Unleashed with Bam and Reggie Reg. And I'll be honest with you, all I ever wanted to do was get on Sports Talk Radio. I don't even care if they paid me. When the pandemic happened, and they had that radio contest trying to find the next co-host for the Sports Unleashed show with, it was Bam and Reggie Reg. Jonathan Rivers, also known as Jonathan Bam Rivers, left to pursue other things. I've talked to him before. He's a great guy. I love talking to Jonathan Bam Rivers. I'm hoping to get him on the show because he's an absolute talent. I took a chance. I sent in an audition tape to Davis Broadcasting. I got on the air just right about 4 years ago. Then had a second audition in February. They were supposed to make a decision that weekend of March. Well, we all know what happened March 11th, 2020. Never got closure. So why do you think I've been pushing hard to do Sports Talk Radio 5 days a week? I'm motivated. This is how you get recognized in this industry, by grinding. Josh Pate said the grind is a blessing. I quote Josh Pate because I look at Josh Pate's career, and even though I want to do what he does, I don't want to copy what Josh Pate does. He is dedicated to doing college football with the Late Kick podcast, and that is great because that is a national show, and Josh Pate has elevated himself. I'm doing something different. I did a podcast 4 years ago where it was completely dedicated to covering local sports to Columbus. Now, since I've been picked up at WQEE, I wanted to include Noonan and the LaGrange area and Valley and that area because I want to give them love, because some of the people that are listening to my show are in those areas. With that being said, I love doing Sports Talk Radio. I want to continue doing this show as long as I can, and I want to thank Ryan O'Neill just for giving me this opportunity to do a show. Next week, we've got a jam-packed lineup. On Monday's show on Facebook Live, it'll probably be re-aired on Tuesday, it's the crossover show with Rod Peterson. Yes, Rod Peterson from the Rod Peterson Show, he's on before me, is coming on the Sports Beat. And then I'm also going to have WRBL Sports Director Jack Patterson. He's coming on the show as well. That is all the time I have here on the show. I want to thank all my listeners who download the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel and the Facebook page. Don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram, on the X, on Facebook, and you could subscribe to the YouTube channel. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy the conference championships. I'll be back Monday talking about the Super Bowl. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you then. You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.